Let's pursue it. Let's continue the Gemara here. We are in some way in the middle of a sugya, but this part of the sugya does, in fact, have a life of its own. We're going to have to just remind ourselves about a couple of things as we read the Gemara that relate back to the first part of the sugya, but really this is its own sugya, as we'll see. Okay, so the Gemara raises the question on Daf Hei Amud Beis. Ibayilu. This is a shaila that doesn't get resolved. It's going to be an Ibayilu Dulo Ifshita, as we'll see. The Gemara is not going to have definitive conclusion. So we have to know the implications of this, a halacha. But the Gemara raises the following question. Tavol la'acha zman, va'amalo paticha betoch zmani mahu. Okay, so this, of course, is relating back to what we had just earlier. We had a machokis v'shlokish and a baye v'rava, as the Gemara began in Daf Hei Amud Aleph. Situation of a person who sets up a date that the loveh must pay by, and the loveh, when the malva comes to demand payment, the loveh says, I paid you betoch zmani. Now, what that means, as we already discussed earlier, it means either that the claim is being made betoch zmani, and the loveh's defense is, I paid you. It's not yet the time that the loan is due. Or, as Tosus even suggested in his years, apparently was that as well, back on Hamid Aleph, that the time that the malveh is making the claim is actually the due date itself. But either way, the situation earlier is not related to what we're about to read right now. We had in that situation, Rish Lakish taught us that the loveh does not have credibility with his claim of defense that I paid, because the idea is a person does not pay toch zmano halvai de para bezmane. The Gemara further on uses stronger language and uses the word chazaka, which is what the Gemara here is going to work with. That is to say, chazaka ein adam pre toch zmano. That's again echoing Rish Lakish. The implications of that chazaka, the Gemara told us just right before here, just to get our bearings, is that afilu miyasmi. Typically, if you're going to collect a chov that was owed to you by the father, and you come to the Yisomim to collect, the Yisomim don't really know whether the father paid or not, but we require, therefore, a shvua on the part of the person coming to collect, that he swears the father did not pay him. That's usually the case. But if the father died toch hazman, because of this chazaka, that in the Zmano, there is no need for a shvur. That's what we saw so far. Abai v'Rav, on the other hand, disagreed. They held that a person could pay toch hazman. Of it, in his part, goes in. They dismissed Rish Lakish. But the Gemara said, although there are those who hold like Abai v'Rav, Hilchisok Rish Lakish and Afilu Miyas. Given that, comes the Gemara now in this part of the sugya and raises the following question. I understand there's a chazaka of Rish Lakish. I understand that a person has no nemanus to say, I pay toch hazman. But that would be in a case where the din Torah is happening toch hazman, or on the day itself, which we'll see more about in a minute. But suppose the person is coming to collect la'ach hazman. Now, if this individual would say, I paid you now, after this man, he'd be believed. But instead of saying, I paid you now, meaning sometime after the due date, he says, I pay toch hazman. So on the one hand, we have the chazaka that indicates he didn't pay toch hazman. On the other hand, he has a malo l'shaker, which is a migo. Mahu. Mi amrinan b'mokam chazaka malo l'shaker, odil mokam chazaka lo min malo l'shaker. On the one hand, we have the chazaka that indicates that he did not pay. That's a strike against his taina. On the other hand, he has the support of amigo, because he could have said, I paid you after this month, and he'd be believed. That question of the Gemara at first glance seems to be, what carries more weight here? We have the support of the amigo on his side, but then again, it runs against the chazaka. So the Gemara presents it, do we say, b'makam chazaka, ma'al ishake, or not? And from here, the Gemara is going to go on soon to discuss the raya from the Mishnah, the Shaka Vitari that we had earlier, and then another example. Now, let's look carefully at the Lashon of Rashi, a couple of diyukim to notice in Rashi. It says Rashi, Mali Lishaker. Mali Shaker is a way of saying Migo. If he were to lie, he could have said something which would be more convenient. He could have said, I paid now. Iboy Amale Praticha Bizmani. He could have said, I paid you after this month. Tilkach ki amale nami paticha betoch zmani, if he would say equally the claim I paid you tochas man neman, Rashi adds b'shvua. Let's explain why Rashi says b'shvua. Why does Rashi say b'shvua? We don't say it in the Gemara. Where did Rashi get that idea of shvua? It's a simple pshat in Rashi, which is now getting too complicated. What kind of shvua does Rashi have in mind? We know a little bit about shvua from the earlier part of the Gemara again. Shvua heses, correct. Shvua heses means like this. If someone makes a claim of defense that he doesn't owe, let's say you call for a kol, for example, or whatever claim it is that he's tining, he's pater. So even though midoraisa, there's no need for a shvua, but midrabanan, it's a takana, a later takana, called shvua heses, that the person makes a claim, and even though he's going to come out empty-handed with this claim, but l'maisa, he can come out of nowhere. So we need the nitva, the one who's coming to defend himself, to swear shvua heses. So what does Rashi mean? In this case, he says, I pay you tochazman. And we're suggesting that he be believed because he could have said, I paid you bizman. Says Rashi, yep, but don't. At the same time that he's going to be believed, he's still going to have to take a shvua. Why? So the stem of the pshat is because what's the basis here? Why would he be believed when he says, I paid you tochazman? Because he has a migo. But what could he have said? I paid you bizman. And what if he said, I paid you bizman? If he believed, but what would he have to do? Supply a shvua. So Rashi tells you, shvua, meaning because it's not going to be any better than that which he would have said if he would have said, I paid you now. So there's always going to be a shvua heses. At the end of the day, a person can't just go home with this taina that patters him. He needs to provide a shvua of a heses. And therefore, me go now till tomorrow. He's still going to need a shvua heses. Achor, that's the pashup pshat in Rashi. If you wish, you can add a little twist to this, and maybe there's nafkaminas as well, but we'll say it as without the nafkaminas, just simply, and if he's not going to take a shvua, then you really lost what? You lost your migo. Because the idea is, why you have a migo? Because you could have chosen to use, right, said another time. But in order to say that you have a migo, it has to be equal. Otherwise, you choose this time because it's easier. You don't have to take a shvua. So in order to even justify the migo, the whole support that he has is because he could have just as well said the other thing. So the other thing would require a shvua. So the only way you can build your migo is if you have a shvua now. So if you want to add that later, you can do that too. You could say Rashi says it because it's not going to be better than the other taina. But it's even more than that, it's not going to be a migo without a shvua. So Rashi says b'shvua. But again, it comes down to shvua heseslus seemingly. But again, here it comes out, you have to have the shvua, otherwise you lost your migo. Okay, so this is the tzad that you believe him, even though it's in the face of a chazaka. What's the other side of the Gemara Shaila? Oh, Dilma. Now here we have to look carefully how Rashi frames it. The Lashna Gemara, Dilma b'makom chazaka omrim na l'shaker. So we would say, means because this migo is up against a chazaka. Okay, so does the migo work? B'makom chazaka, that's the words of the Gemara. What does Rashi say? Oh, Dilma, keva de muchzak lan, the enot of v'toch zmano, since we have this presumption that a person doesn't pay, again, we're going hilchos kirish lakish. So we're assuming a person doesn't pay toch zmano. Lo amrinan, b'makom di'iko chazaka, d'mare l'dibure, mali l'shaker v'le'em nuhu. The two words in Rashi that should jump up off the page of us. Which two words? What's Rashi putting into the Gemara? The idea of lo aminan mali shaker b'makom chazaka, Rashi says, because where does the problem lie? Lo aminan b'makom diga chazaka demari ledibure. Let's touch this a little bit better. Demari ledibure means it weakens his claim. What he's saying is, I paid. So Rashi is identifying the tzad of the Gemara that you can't be believed with your migo because the chazaka has created a dent, a reisa, in your time. And therefore, migo can't come to the rescue. Once the taina has this, you know, the suspicion to it, it becomes weaker because what are you saying? I paid tochazman, but the chazaka says you didn't. So then, mali shaker can't help you. In other words, migo means that if there's a taina that is a taina, it's not viewed as this to be dismissed. It's just that it doesn't have, you know, enough to be accepted either. The Taina is neutral, you could say. Maybe yes, maybe not. I don't know. So maybe I don't have enough to go and accept this Taina. Comes the Nigo, comes Melushaker, and gives it that boost, it gives it the credibility that it doesn't have. That's Nigo, that's Melushaker. But the Gemara is saying over here, it's not that way. Here, the Chazaka destroys the Taina. The Taina is weakened. The Taina is already, it's not just like neutral, it's not accepted. The Taina doesn't get to first base. So therefore, Migo can't play a role. And those Migo means that it takes a Taina and it gives it that extra support. But this Taina is thrown out. The Chazaka weakens the Taina. So once the Taina already has this deficiency, because it's up against the Chazaka, then Malishaka can come and fix the problem. That's the way Rashi. We have to see implications of this. We'll get into Tosus, L'chora, for the second half of Tosus, but especially, I think we'll be able to be medayik. The Tosus had a different take on what it means, Odilma, that we don't say Malishaka, Mokha Chazaka. For Rashi, the focus is, it's not that the Chazaka, Be'etzim, has to be on this pedestal, you could say, like it were Chveis, Edim, or whatever. It's that the Chazaka is a presumption that allows us to see the Taina as doesn't enter into the equation. It's weakened. If you have a Taina that's already strike against it, then Malishaka can come and help, can fix it. That's, I think, the way that Rashi is presenting, and maybe the Lashna Gemara is somewhat suggesting of this. As we read the Lashna Gemara, and it could be there's another way to even maybe even a Girsa issue. We'll get to that too, possibly. But the words of the Gemara, as we have them, Odilma b'makom chazaka lo mimalishaka. You know, how is it framed? B'makom chazaka, meaning chazaka, and then Rashi adds, chazaka demar ledibure. So malishaka can't help you because the Taina is already on the wrong track. It's already not admissible. And Migo is not its own nemanus. Migo is in a context. Migo comes and gives nemanus to a Taina, but the Taina wasn't its nemanus. The Taina is already beyond repair. It's already been knocked down by the Chazaka. This is how Rashi seems to present it. We'll see more implications of this. Yes, Yaakov.
Rabbi, did it sound like we said the Koch HaTaina with Rabbi Hanan?
I'm not going there. I don't need necessarily tying myself down. In fact, the Lashon Malishaker is about Biur, not about Koch HaTaina. But the Biur of Malishaker, the Biur means the evidence, the support, is a support not like a separate Koach. It's a support to a Taina. In other words, you win with your Taina. But the Taina typically doesn't have enough to carry its own weight, because who says your Taina is emes? So you have a Taina, so what? Comes the Migo and it supports your Taina. But here you have the Mokab Chazaka. The Chazaka has already created a race in your Taina. So in that case, the Malushaka can come and rehabilitate it. That's again, just push it the words of Rashi. Again, what we'll do with this, we'll have to see. Okay, so this is the shaila of the Gemara. Do we say that a person is believed with his migo, with malushaker, in the context of a chazaka, because his claim, after all, is that I paid tol chazman, but he could have said, I paid now. So Gemara tries to bring a raya first from the first part of the Mishnah, and then from the second part of the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to reject these rayas based on svaras that we had already earlier in the first part of the sugya. So we have to remind ourselves of what we have in our Mishnah before we read the Gemara. The Mishnah, which is what got us into this whole Shakavitari about Kaber Zman and Inapir Zmano, the Mishnah is discussing the halacha of building a wall. If you hold Hezek Ri'ah Shmei Hezek, it's because of the Chiyuv of Hezek Ri'ah. And there was a wall, and the Mishnah has a case where the wall fell down. And the din is, Mechayvu of Nosar Arba Amis. The halacha is, it has to be restored to the Shear that protects in Hezek Ri'ah, which is Arba Amis. Then the Mishnah talks about if one person builds a wall on his own and wants the other person, right, to pay his share, because they both are responsible to build this wall to the four amos point. So the person will say, I paid. And the person says, but you didn't. And who do we believe? So in that case, where the wall has to be built to four amos and everyone has to chip in and one person did it on his own, and he makes the claim to pay, the other one should pay his share, the other person is believed, unless the Toveya, the one who built the wall, can claim otherwise whatever that Rai is. We had a Machokas Rashi in the Rush, if you remember exactly what that Rai is, Becheskes Shalonasan, Yom Rai Shalonasan. But other than that, he's believed. That's part one of the Mishnah. Then we had the second part of the Mishnah, again, all relevant for what we're going to see in the Gemara now. If above 4 amas, so then there's no halacha at all. He doesn't have to pay for the cost beyond 4 amas, but there's a situation that he would have to pay even beyond 4 amas if he shows that he's going to benefit from this wall and he wants to benefit. So he builds another wall parallel to this wall, and the idea is now he's going to roof the two walls together. He's going to have his own space. So that indicates that he's interested and wants to benefit from this wall, even the height beyond 4 amas. So then the galim zakol, and he has to pay for even the entire amount. But on that, if the claim is made against him, pay your shear, because you're chayiv, v'cheskas shelo nasan, there, he's not believed to say that he paid, unless he can prove otherwise. Okay, that's the two parts of the Mishnah. So we had this already coming up in terms of the original machokes, Abai Barab and Rish Lakish. Now it's going to come up in terms of this shayil of the Gemara of Migo ben Malkum Chazak. Says the Gemara, Tashma, v'cheskas shenasan, ad sheyavi rai shelo nasan. That's the first part of the Mishnah, that if the person claims that he paid, he's believed. That is to say, for the shear of the 4 amas. Hechidam, what's our case? When is this din Torah happening, that the claim is being made that he has to pay his shear, and he says he paid? Hechidam, ilei mishetvo l'achaz man, v'amor paticha bizmani pshita. Now let's again review what we had from last time. What does it mean to say l'achaz man? So the Gemara is saying, assuming now that l'achaz man means, at what point? What point does l'achaz man? After the 4 amas, he's barely gotten to the 4 amas. He already built the whole wall 4 amas. Now, why is, short of that, why is it called tochazman? We had 2 mahalchen, right? Why is it considered tochazman? After all, doesn't the person open the get-go? He has to chip in for the wall. So why is there anything about tochazman here? I mean, he has to pay before any brick was even set. That was the kasha Rabbeinu Yonah. Go ahead, remind us. So the 2 mahalchen, what Rabbeinu Yonah said? That it's considered havachazman. In other words, of course you owe from the beginning, you owe money, you owe me to be mishtatif in the wall, building the wall, or you owe me money. It's all from the beginning. But once one person begins to build on his own, so it's ki'ilu, he would say, okay, listen, I'm taking it on myself. It's like I'm giving you an extension on the loan. You owe me money already from the beginning, but now you don't have to pay me till I'm finished. That's what the Gemara is assuming right now. So until the point that gets to Dalet Amos, so it's considered like a zman that's not yet here. He doesn't owe till the 4 amas, the money, because it's like the person has now extended the time that he only owe at that point, and until that point, it's tocha zman. That's according to the Maksha right now. That's how much he's mavir zman. The other mahalach was what? The rush?
Two different
chiyuvim. In other words, from the beginning, there's no halacha that he owes money. He owes that he has to misalk hezekriyah, you have to build, take care of the hezekriyah problem. Once the wall is starting to get built, now it's a halacha that he owes to Meha Kosel. That chiyuv, the Gemara assumes, only comes into being when the wall is finished. So there is no chiyuv yet. The chiyuv damim is only a chiyuv that materializes when the 4 amos are finished. At least now in the Gemara's question. This was the approach of the Rush. And this was also, we medayik, if you remember part of the sugya, we medayik this from a couple of places in Tosis as well, on the earlier Gemara Hammond base. Good. So either way, the Gemara is going with that same, whatever assumption we had earlier, this is what the Gemara is assuming now. So the Gemara says, look, when is he coming and making this claim that you have to pay me for your shear? So if it's bizmani, meaning at the end of the 4 amas are finished, pshita, then why do you have to tell me the obvious? Of course he's believed. You can say, I paid. Elulav, the amale paticha betosmani. In other words, the Gemara is assuming that he's coming to him after the 4 amos are finished. But the defense of the other guy is, he says, I paid when? Before. So this is mamish the scenario that we're setting up here. He comes to Va'ol l'achazman, and he says, Paticha b'toch zmani. And what does the Mishnah say? Lo and behold, b'cheskas shenasan. So, al ma'afil b'mokam chazaka, amrina ma'u l'shakim. So you see, even when you have the chazaka, because he's saying, I pay tochazman, it's against the chazaka. But Lamaisa, yes, Malishaki could have said paid now. So the Mishnah's chidush is this itself. In other words, not that he says I paid now, that it's obvious. But he says, La'achazman, after four amis, he said I paid before. And the chidush is, B'cheskes Shinasan, that we allow for Malishaki b'makom chazaka. This is the Gemara's question. Second. So Gemara answers, again, should be familiar to everybody. Shiny hacha, the kol shafa shafa zimneyu. No, the point is that this is not, in fact, true that to say he paid before is tocha zman, because really the zman is already here on every time that the row is finished. That's the zman. According to the pshat of the Rabbeinu Yonah, it would mean that the havacha zman is not to the point of four amos; it's to the end of each row. So to claim paraiti after row is finished is in fact paraiti b'zman. According to the Rosh's pshat, what does it mean? Koshav Zimneyu knows the halacha that you become chayiv to pay damim is not only when it is all done, but at the end of each row. And what's the chidush of the Mishnah, therefore? The Pashup Shah would be, the Ben Yon's Mashma. What's the chidush of the Mishnah then? So it's a Vaitras Pshita. Now, what's the chidush, therefore? That, in fact, that's a Shasa Chiyav, that the Chiyav is, in fact, now, or that the Zman of Piron is now. This is, again, very familiar from the Gemara earlier. So that would be as far as part one, just the second, Dani. And then let's go through the second part of the Mishnah. Again, all very familiar from Amid days earlier. Tashma, let's try to prove from the second part of the Mishnah on this issue. So above four amos, there's no chiv at all, but it'd be a situation where he becomes chayiv even above four amos to pay his shear toward the wall beyond four amos high, samachol kosalacher, and so on. And on that, if the claim is made against him, it's becheskas shelo nasan, it's viewed as not being believed to say paid ashi avashi nasan. So it's gemara hechidami. Now here again, hechidami. Ilei meshetfo l'achaz mano. So what's the l'achaz mano here? You can plug in the Rashi earlier. Shetfo l'achaz mano means? What? After everything is finished. V'omalo praticha bizmani. Meaning when he finished his wall that he's going to have next to the other wall, the parallel wall that he built, that's called bizmani, because until that point he doesn't really know how much he's going to have to be chayv, and it, presumably he's not really owing until that point. In other words, that's the Rashi said before. In other words, v'yadati kamen is chayav to yisayeya, that's called bizmani. Even though he's megal adas, but until he knows how much he's going to pay, it's not called he owes anything. That's the assumption. So if it's achaz mano, and he says, I paid you at that point that I know already how much I'm gonna owe, then amaylo, then why is Mishnah say he's not believed? Elav must be, we'll set up the case, the amaylo praticha betosmani. So his claim that he paid is to pay before that point. And it says that you're not believed. So then let's bring it right the other direction. So here you see the opposite. The chiddush of the Mishnah must be that you not be believed, even though the claim that the din Torah is happening when? At the end. In which case he has clearly a what on his side. He has a... What does he have on his side going for him? When is this din Torah occurring? Afterwards. So he's already chayv. So now it's already Zman Piron. So he could have just as well said, I paid you now. And yet you're not believing him. Why? Because his claim is, I paid you before. So what do you see here? Alma b'makom chazaka lo mimalishak. So here would be a raya. The Gemara's using this Mishnah to try to pin down the case to be a raya that you're not believed against a chazak. Says the Gemara again. The Gemara pulls out what it said earlier when the Gemara brought it in the earlier shakavitaya between Abai Varava and Shlakish. So the earlier the Gemara used it as a kasha on Abai Varava. You see, you're not believed tochazman, because more assuming there that the dinto was happening earlier. The Gemara uses it over here in the case where the Gemara is assuming the din Torah is happening later, and his taina is that I paid earlier. So what's the answer? Shaini hacha, the Amar, the Yemer, the Mechayvig Rabbana. No, the reason why he's not believed to say paraiti is because he doesn't even think that he's chayv at all. Just because he built another wall, that in his mind does not indicate that he's chayv. So he doesn't think he's chayv, and therefore he's not going to pay. As Rashi explained earlier, therefore, even if he would say praticha bizmani, you want to build a migo here, there's no migo. What's his migo? He would say, I paid you now, he'd be believed, he could be believed, therefore, with a migo to say, I paid you tolchazman. No, if he said, I paid you bizmani, he's also not believed, because we say he doesn't think he's chayv. Just a okay. This is the Gemara. Let's just look quickly the Tosas here, and then questions. Tosas just brings in another possible answer the Gemara could have given on this second part of the Mishnah, and Tosas is bringing in from the early part of the sugya. Okay, this is again part two of the Mishnah, when we say that you're not believed in the case where you're megaladas and you build another wall. So the Gemara gave the answer that the reason why you're not believed is because you don't think you're chayiv at all. It says the Tosas, the Gemara could have said something else. Have you matzi l'shnuye? The Gemara could have given a different answer. Hadik tani b'cheskas shelo nasan, haynu b'toch zmano. In other words, when did this din Torah occur? The Gemara is locking in the case to be that the din Torah is happening when? Afterwards. But maybe not. Maybe we'll have a simple answer. You know why you're not believed? Because the whole, your whole basis of why you believe is amigo. You could have said, I paid you now, bizman. Let's just put the din Torah back in time and say that the din Torah is happening toch hazman. Okay, so you know why you're not believed? Because of what principle? What? Rishkokish. Epitoch zman. A variation of that, Tosis gets, this is all connected to Tosis before, or bizmano. The Omar Paticha betoch hazman. What does Tosis mean with these words? Alternative, Mark could have had a different answer. Again, rather than answering man yema de machayvi rabbanon, Mark could have had a different answer. That either the din Torah is tochas man, you not believe because of it's tochas etved was man, or make the case that you're coming when? On the day, on the due date. And then you said, I paid you tochas man. No, so what does that help? Chayra what? So wouldn't that also mean that you have a migul? You could have, if first said I paid on that date, on that due date, what's the halacha? Is he believed or not? Yeah. So or not. So why wouldn't it be? So what does Tosis mean? So you could say on that day. So then, don't you still have a raya? No. Why? It's migul da'aza. That's what Tosis said earlier. Migul da'aza, what does that mean? That you don't feel comfortable saying in person's face, I paid you today. You say, I paid you yesterday, you forgot, it takes less nerve to say such a thing. Tosis pointed that out. That was why Tosis explained in his Girsa, if you remember, was the very case of Rish Lakish. Tosis Dibra Hamascho Hermit Aleph. What was the case of Rish Lakish? Uba Bismano. Wait a second. But on the Yom of the Mishkan Zimna, you could say, I paid. So why is that not right away a case of Amigo? You say, Tochas Man, you could have said, I paid you today. Tosis explained. That's the Tosis, right? On the second half of that Tosis on Tehemid Beis. Because of the fact that it's amigo de ha'aza. That person is lo chatzif, the last words of Tosis. Ein zamigo de lo chatzif inish lo meh mapticha yo. Avaroga lo mapticha esmo b'shachachta. That's the end of the Tosis. So Tosis is referencing what he said before. So l'chara, the Gemara, could have gotten out of this raya by saying one of two things. Rather than saying that it's happening at the end, la'achazman, and you're not believed with amigo because even to say I paid you now is not going to help you because you don't think you're chayiv at all. Mark could have said that the case is that the came person came tochazman, so then your claim is about tochazman, you're not believed because it's enadam pertozman, or a case that's bizman, but the due date itself, and you don't have your amigo. And therefore, you don't have a raya to prove that the amigo doesn't work against chazaka. The Tosis says, okay, the Mark could have said that, but why didn't the Mark give that answer? Ach, okay, it's finished. Avol achas man avi becheskas shenasa. The mokum shchazok amin malishake. So deflect the raya that way. Ach nichale l'shnuyei hasa meimer amar miyem del chavir abanan delo tikshina milabai l'orava. Let's explain. In other words, if you're saying that, then you're working with the assumption that what? That ein adam predos mana. Who holds that way? The shlokish. Abai v'rava disagree. And Abai v'rava had to obviously answer up this second part of the Mishnah becheskas shelo nasan. With what answer? Amiyam Lechem Rabbanan. So once they have to say it, Gemara just utilizes that to answer here with this part of the Gemara too, within the Shalom Ligo Makom Chazak. Okay. Okay, questions so far before we go now to the meaty Tosis from before. Questions, Dani, please.
Yeah, I was wondering, once our Gemara sort of passes like Rish Lakish, and Rish Lakish, in order to understand the Mishnah, makes the Okimta of Kol Sav of Safa, how can now our Gemara suddenly like use this raya and assume not?
Yeah, this is you're asking in terms of when you see Shaka Vitari in the Gemara, the Gemara already gives an answer, and then you see another few lines later, a Shaka Vitari, and then he comes up again. It's a good question in general. How do you, What do you make of that? It could be that this conversation took place, you know, not right after the other one, and the Masada HaGemara was just putting them right next to the other, or the Gemara just runs its course, Gemara, you know, just for the sake of Hagatara Adira. There's all kinds of ways that one would deal with this question. Obviously, you know, it's all possible. You know, not every time is it the same answer. Rishonim sometimes will deal with this, not in this case. But it's not uncommon, the Gemara, you'll find. The Gemara will give an answer and then have another run at it where its ki'ilu comes back again. You know, it's not my area of expertise, but it's not something that is uncommon that you'll find in the Gemara. The Pashup Shat could just be that that's part of the Shaka Vitaria, that, you know, ki'ilu, the Gemara is mis'alim at this point from that answer, and then it comes up again, and yeah, or it was happening in a different context, in a different locality, and then, you know, the Sadriya Gemara just put it together. But the Lamaisa, you know, the premise of the earlier Maksha is what's obviously re-emerging over here. But I don't think you have to say Torah, in other words. Oh, that, you know, Mar knew it for this and not for this. I mean, the Svar is a Svar. If it's a good Svar before, it's obviously not a Kasha here either. But the key, we're going back. Over. Any other questions? Crystal clear so far. Yeah, Yoni. Yeah, good. Okay, let's go with the Tosfos Mi Amrina. Okay, so here Tosfos is going to raise a number of interesting issues. That's going to take us a little bit afield of this Gemara, but increase our yedias a little bit in these inyanim of Toin Benitan. The Gemara says Mi Amrinan B'Mokum Chazaka Mal Lishaker Olo. So we have a shayla: do we say Mal Lishaker B'Mokum Chazaka Enam Petos Mano? Hiksha Riba Mordechai. The Rivam asked the question. How could the Gemara be raising a question asking that we should possibly have amigo work against Chazaka? This Chazaka, Ve'en Per Tosmano. Ve'ha'ach Chazaka, Adifa Mishtar. This Ve'en Per Tosmano, this Chazaka Vishlakish, is stronger than a star. How do I know it's stronger than a star? The Bishtar ain't a gove ela Bishvua. If a person has a shtar and he wants to collect, he needs to take a shvua that he's talking from Yisomim, the stomatosis, right? As we had before. So the din is, you can only collect if you swear that the father didn't pay. But ha-chazaka, gove below shvua. It's really true. It could be even not by Yisomim. We saw a mashal by Tosis in the Gemara Shavuah says a person says Ishtavali de lo Patich, really not just by Yisom. That was the earlier Tosis as well. You remember the Gemara in Shavuah Mem Aleph that Rav Papa said Itoin ba'amer Ishtavali, right? Then he has to take a Shavuah. So Lamaisa, there's a requirement of a Shavuah if you collect with a shtar, but the Chazaka in Tosmano that absolves the toveya of having to swear that he didn't get paid. That was what the Gemara just said, right? The afagav the omer mar habo pernisam we probably shvua chazakim beolav that inish the par goes in. The lines right before in the Gemara. The bishtar and the gove el bishvua b'chazaka gove b'loshvua. Okay, so now off of this, the Rivam continues. So you see, the chazaka has greater weight than the shtar. In what sense? That the shtar, notwithstanding the fact that there's a shtar, you still have to swear that you weren't paid. But if you have the chazaka on your side, you don't have to swear that you weren't paid. Okay, so now what? The imkain, my come bayile. So what kind of shayla is Gemara have if we say migo b'makam chazaka? Hapshita, de migo b'makam edim lo amrina. We have a clear, we clearly know this is sugyas in cheskes habatim. Migo b'makam edim doesn't work. Migo cannot stand up to edim. If koshkin b'makam chazaka, da adifa tfei. So if migo doesn't work b'makam edim, if it's contradicted, the taina that the migo is coming to support is contradicted by edim, then migo for sure is not going to help against edim. So now that we prove that chazaka is stronger, how do you see chazaka is stronger? Because chazaka is adifa mishtar. In what sense? That shtar, you need to wear, take a shvur that you weren't paid. And chazaka, if you have a chazaka on your side of Tosmano, then you don't need to take a shvur. So therefore, if migo makam edim doesn't work, and chazaka is adifa mishtar, so what? So therefore, for sure, migo can't work makam chazaka. The words of Tosis. No. we need to do a little bit of translating here, because Tosis seems to be pulling something over us at first glance. Tosis starts by saying that Chazak Adifa Mishtar. That person comes with a shtar, that he's owed money, he has to swear that he wasn't paid. If he has the Chazaka Ibtel Tazmano on his side, he doesn't have to swear that he wasn't paid. That's a specific issue relating to whether he was paid. So having the shtar is not good enough to absolve him of having to take a shvur, even though he has a shtar. Okay, fine. So Chazak Adif Mishtar in that specific area, in that regarding that question of whether I still are suspecting that maybe it was paid. So shtar, we still have reason to suspect that maybe you were paid even though you have the shtar. So you have to swear that you weren't paid. But if you have chazaka, tochazman, then you don't have to swear. Okay, fine. I hear that. So where does Tosus go from that? Therefore, chazaka is stronger than what is? Then what? Then shtar, insofar as that question of whether we think you might have been paid for this chol. Now Tosa says, therefore, we know Migul Makam Eidim can't work. Migul can't work against Eidim. Certainly, Migul can't help against Chazak. What does that have to do with what we just said? Makam Eidim, okay. Migul Makam Eidim, nothing, can't work. Migul Makam Chazaka, maybe can work. Where did Tosa talk about that before? Tosa talked about Chazaka Adifa Mishtar. So obviously, let's translate. What did Tosa obviously mean? That when we talk about a shtar, and the fact that by a shtar you have to swear, and chazaka you don't have to swear if you have a chazaka on your side, that shows what does the fact that you have to swear by shtar show? Yeah? Shtar is ki'ilu saying it's edus. Shtar is edus. Shtar is edus. Okay, so let's start with that. Shtar is Eidus. What is Shtar and Eidus on? That there was Ahava. Okay? Reuven borrowed money from Shimon. Okay, very good. But now the question is, did Reuven pay Shimon? Do we think that possibly Reuven doesn't owe him now because he paid? So maybe we can believe Shimon that he paid Shimon, or maybe we don't believe Reuven paid Shimon. Shimon's got the Shtar. So what's the halacha? That we have to think maybe it was paid. Shimon has the shtar. Usually we assume Shimon has the shtar, so Reuven didn't pay. Because if Reuven paid, he would have taken the shtar back. What do we call that? What four words? Shtarcha biyadi my bayi. Shtar is in my hands. What do you want? How could you say that you paid? I have the shtar. You would have taken the shtar back. That's like an omdina. That's a raya that the chov wasn't paid. So when we talk about the fact that chazaka is adif mishtar, chayra, it's specifically relating to that nakuda. Do we have reason to still suspect that the chov was paid in the face of a shtar or versus in the face of a chazaka? Let's break down the issues to the building blocks. What is at stake here? So when the malva has a shtar, so there seems to be indication that the lova didn't pay. But then again, maybe, we haven't seen the teretz of Tosus. We'll see what changes in the teretz, in the re. For now, just to understand Tosus' kasha. So the indication that it wasn't paid is clear because the malva has a shtar. But who knows, maybe possibly he just paid and didn't take the shtar back. Could be. So therefore, shvur is required because who knows? Maybe he did pay. Swear that he didn't pay. Okay. So that's where shtar leaves room, even though the malva has a shtar, leaves room to still verify further that it wasn't paid. If, on the other hand, the malva is coming tochazman, and the lova says, I pay tochazman, and the chazaka, therefore, that a person doesn't pay tochazmano is supporting the malva, so then we don't have that reason to start thinking that maybe the lova paid. So the issue of that which the chazaka is adif mishtar really seems to be not an issue of Eidim, chazaka better than Eidim, but about the specific issue that is relating to do we think it was paid or not, Do we take the Shtar Chav Yadi Maibai indication and run with it and not leave any room to suspect otherwise that he did pay? Or do we say no, notwithstanding the fact that the Malveh is a Shtar, Shtar Chav Yadi Maibai, but maybe he did pay? To that extent, we say, maybe he did pay, if we take a Shvuah. Chazak, on the other hand, is such a strong indication that it leaves little room, no room, to suspect that it was paid. Tochazman, people don't pay. So L'chor, the context in which Tosu starts by saying Chazak is Adat Mishtar, is specifically about that Umdina, Ashtar Chav Yadi Maibai, versus Chazaka. Chazaka is stronger than what? Than Shtar, in terms of Ashtar Chav Yadi Maibai, and what it creates for us. Chazaka creates a greater indication without any possibilities that it was paid. And what? And Shtar Chav Yadi Maibai, the Shtar being in the hands of the Malveh, doesn't speak to that in the same way, in the same level. Fine. So that much I see. The Chazaka is, in a Gretel Zmano, is stronger than the Umdina, you could say, of what? Shtar Chav Yadi Maibai. Okay. So where does Tosus come off from that and saying, therefore, now that I showed you that, now my problem is that why is it a shah of Mikam Malkam Chazaka? Mikam Malkam Adam doesn't work. Mikam Malkam Chazaka surely shouldn't work. What do you mean? Who's talking about Mikam Malkam Adam? Mikam Malkam Adam doesn't work. Mikam Malkam Chazaka works. All he showed me was that Chazaka is greater than Shtar Chav Yadi Maibai. That Shtar Chav Yadi Maibai, that indication of Shtar Chav Yadi Maibai, does still leaves room to suspect that it was paid. And Chazaka doesn't leave us with that room to suspect those things. So you don't need a shvuah. Okay. But as far as the koach of Edim being stronger than Chazaka, for all I know, yeah. What in the world does this mean? So all you said so far is that Shtar is like Edim. Yeah, but good, Shtar is like Edim, that there was Ahava. But the issue now is not about whether there was Ahava or not. The issue now is about what? Was it paid or not? For that, we have to turn to another issue. Shtar is in the hands of the Malveh. That indicates the Malveh did, in fact, not get paid. But are we sure? For sure? Absolutely positive? No. Maybe he left the Shtar and didn't pay. And did pay. Even though he paid, he left the Shtar. Okay, take a shvur. Chazaka doesn't even make us think like that. Chazaka, person does not betel chazman. Fine. So that's where the weight is. Chazaka stronger than Shtar in that regard, in that specific issue. Why does Tosus connect that with the idea that Chazaka being greater than Shtar, therefore, if Migu can't help Makam Edom, it can't work Makam Chazaka? Where did that come from? Where did that connection come from? Seemingly, he's putting the issue. I mean, this is the way to frame it, and then we see what the answer is. He's taking the issue of whether the Chov was paid and attaching that to the Shtar and the Eidus of the Shtar. I mean, that's the beginning, Tchilas Dabar, to start thinking. What the Rivam is doing in this question is working with the assumption that Ki'ilu, the Shtar, and the Eidus of the Shtar speaks also to the question of that there was no payment. That's what's muhach in this Tosis. Lamdish, Pashut. Because if the issue of whether it was paid is totally separate from the Eidus of the Shtar, then what in the world is Tosus building a kasha here, the Rivam, that if Migu can't work Makam Edim, it shouldn't work Makam Chazaka? Why? Because Chazaka is stronger than the Shtar. Chazaka is stronger than the Shtar in terms of one Nakuda. Was there Piron? So having a Shtar shows there was no Piron, but maybe there was. Having Chazaka shows, beyond any doubt, that there wasn't Piron. To say that, I accept that. Regarding the quest of a Migu b'makam Chazaka, why are you bringing Migu b'makam Edim as a raya that Migu Chazaka doesn't work? Migu b'makam Edim doesn't work, Makam Chazaka works. Chazaka is better than Shtar in terms of one issue. Do I think that there could have been payment even though the Malveh has the Shtar? For the Rivam, that is synonymous with saying the Koach of Edus speaks to the question of whether there was a law, whether there was a payment. We have to explain what that means, but that's the path that's in front of us. Otherwise, what he's mixing two different issues up. I just wanted you to hear what's bothering me and what we have to obviously bring out of this Tosis. So far? So how can we explain this? What does that mean? So there's a lot of ways to formulate this. And I'm going to try one way, but if you want to try another way, we can tweak it, you know. But I'm going to try one way. It's all more or less similar type of raid. But the Arayas, but we're going to just focus on Artosis. What would we normally imagine is a shtar? What is the shtar is Eidos? What is the Eidos of a shtar halva? So you could argue, shtar is Eidos on the Maisa Shahayim, the Sefer Dvarim. Ruven, Lava, Mana, Mishimah. The Eidim on the shtar testifying that Ruven borrowed money. Now, Malveh has a shtar. We have Eidos that wouldn't borrow money. Now we can talk about Adin Torah, maybe it was paid, maybe it wasn't paid, and whatever else flows from that. But maybe not. Maybe shtar is more than that. Shtar, the Eidos of the shtar, or you could say, what the shtar is ultimately speaking to, it doesn't matter what the words are, but you have to take the spirit of those words, the zog, as you could say, of the shtar, if I use the Yiddish word. What is the shtar? What is it saying? Not what are the technical words. Not Ruben Lava Mana Mishimon. Ruben Chayiv Mana Mishimon. It's not that the shtar hava is testifying about a story. The shtar is speaking to liability. The Das HaMischayiv. Ruven borrows money, he incurs a chiyuv. The shtar with Eidos, with the koach of Eidos, is testifying to the detriment of the meschayiv. Ruven owes money. How did he come incur that chiyuv? He borrowed money. That's how it came about. The words might be Ruven lava on this date and this amount of money. But what is the zog? What is it the shtar is really saying? What is the bottom line message that the shtar is coming to do? What is the Eidos? Ruven Chayev, that much money to Shimon. That's what the Eidos is. The halacha of shtar is self-defining. Everything, if the shtar is held by the Malveh, which entitles him to use his shtar to collect, the shtar says that Ruven owes him money. Now, you'll ask, but let's say Ruven paid. So obviously the shtar is over a bottle. It's been used. It's no longer a valid shtar, right? So maybe it was paid. Maybe the whole thing is a mirage. Maybe the shtar is not really a shtar because it's not, it can't say that he owes because it was paid. It's over. The answer is that there is a klal called shtar chabiyadi my boy. That's an umdina. That when the malveh is holding, possessing the shtar, he comes to the lover and wants to collect with the shtar that he's in his possession. So having the shtar is an indicator that the chov hasn't been paid. Now, let's take it like this. Now we'll put that into the zug of the shtar, into the actual halach of shtaris, of the Eidos of the shtar. The Eidos of the shtar is that Ruven owes. And everything that can be gleaned from the context of this shtar and the way it's presented goes into the Eidos of the shtar. So to say Ruven owes, and if Malveh has the shtar to collect with, then what the shtar is in effect saying then is that the loan is unpaid. He still owes. It's not that the shtar chabiyadi my boy is an extrinsic umdina that's unrelated to the Eidos of the shtar. The Eidos of the shtar is that Ruven owes, but maybe the whole thing is not true. It's already been used up. No, but if there's what we can see from the shtar is that it's not been paid, because you can build that umdina out of the fact that the malveh is holding the shtar, then that itself becomes part of the Eidos of the shtar. That's what the Rivam is coming from. So therefore, the Eidos of the shtar includes the fact that Ruven owes and Shimon has not been paid. This is where the Rivam is coming from. And therefore, the Rivam is asking, so no, what do we see? But at the end of the day, if he's coming to collect from Yisomim, let's say, notwithstanding that Eidos that you have, that the loan is unpaid, we say afal pikein, take a shvu anyway. And if you have a chazaka, tolzmano, if it tolzmano, you don't take shvu. So what do you see? That chazaka is stronger than shtar, but really that means it's stronger than the edus, that the shtar is building with it an edus that it was not paid, and yet he still has to swear that it wasn't paid. And the chazaka doesn't require a shvur. Says Tosus, I understand. Migum makam edim doesn't help. So migum am chazaka, for sure shouldn't. This is, I think, the beginning of what we have to say in the Riva. A couple of questions to think about now. If this is all correct, I ask a simple question. A few questions. First of all, what if the shtar is not mekuyim, hasn't yet been validated, verified through Eden, but it is a shtar held by the malve, and the lova says parua? What's the halacha? So it's a question in the Gemara, but we hold moda b'shtar sheksavo sarach l'kaimo. If the lova agrees that it's not forged, he agrees that he wrote it, that it was arranged as a shtar to be written on his behalf, but he says, I paid. My son, Malva has the shtar. Can the lova say paraiti? So tzarech kaimo means that, yeah, at this point, until the Malva verifies the shtar, the lova is off the hook. What that sounds like it's saying is that the lova is believed with a taina of paraiti, with a migo that he could have said what, because it's not mekuyim, what could he have said?
It's fake.
It's fake, mezuyif. So the lova can be believed with a migo, a paraiti neged ashtar, that's beyan hamalva, migo a mezuyif. How can we just say such a pshat in the Rivam in this kasha to explain that ashtar beyan hamalva is edus that the lova owes that hasn't paid? That's the case. And therefore, he has a kasha. How can you have a migo? Neged chazaka. Chazaka is stronger than edus. How would the Rivam understand how you could allow a nova to say paraiti migo de mezuyif against the shtar? The shtar is as good as saying that you didn't pay. The halach of shtar is that shtar biyara malve is edus that lova still owes, and yet we know mod v'shtar shekasvo tzarech l'kaimo. That means that the lova can say paraiti against the shtar. Everyone hear the question?
Why is the shtar the thumb of Kuyam like the five
So what you're answering is, good, I want you to hear the question. What Arya is saying is, yeah, but this is the difference. If he would say Mizuyev, right, that means shtar is nothing. It's all fake. It's not true. If he says Paraiti, he's using the Migo of Mizuyev to say the shtar is also a farce. It's not true. It was already used up. If the shtar, that's why you have to mekayim it. To the extent that the shtar is mekuyam, now the shtar stands for everything a shtar stands for, and in the chanami, then you can't say paraiti. But if you don't have a shtar mekuyam in front of you, then the same way what mezuyif means is that the shtar is, it's all mirage, it's not really a shtar, it's forged. So paraiti is saying, I don't know anything. The shtar that is the malva is holding is not really a valid shtar. The loan was paid. The shtar is already of obatel. It's been used up. So the koach of the migo allows you to pull the rug right under the whole premise that the malva has a legitimate shtar, which is an edus that I owe. The migo is basically saying that you don't have a shtar. It's all finished. It's all been over. The story's over. I paid. The same way that mezuyif is that way. Comes the Malven's Mekayim, the shtar, now he loses his koach to say paraiti, because exactly right, because the shtar is now the queen, the shtar speaks for itself, and then you have everything that we just said, and then the shtar is saying that he owes and he didn't pay. But to the extent that shtar is not Mekuyim, so the same way Mezuyif means the shtar is invalid, the paraiti becomes this equivalent of the Mezuyif. By shtar saying the Mekuyim, the paraiti says it's nothing. It doesn't mean, I'm not impressed, you're holding a shtar, it doesn't mean anything. That's what the Rivam will say. But I'll ask another question. Here it gets more sticky. We're going to see this Gemara brought in a little bit by Tosus. But the Gemara later has the question by Ishtar Pikadon. We talk about Ishtar Hava until now. Right. The Gemara has a question on Dafai. If a person puts something for safekeeping in the hands of somebody else with a Ishtar, and the Shomer, the Nifkad, says, Hechzarti. I returned the Pikadon to you. Now, typically, if the Lovet would have returned, if the, not the Lovet, the Shomer would return the Bikadon, what would happen? He would take the star back, but he didn't. So you have a star chabiyadi my boy, and the fact that the mafkid still has the star. But then again, the Gemara raises a question. This Shomer has an alternative time. What could he have said in lieu of Hechzarativ? An onus happened, and he's not a Shoel, he's part of Onsin. A Shomer Chinim Shavasach is part of Onsin. The Gemara has a Shaila. Can the Shomer say, in a case where the Mafkid still has the Shtar, Hechzarativ with a Migo of Nens? Okay, so we're going to see more about this Gemara coming up, but now I'm just, for the sake of understanding what we just said, seemingly, if what we just said is correct with the Rivam, that when the Malveh has a shtar, it's Eidus that the Lovet owes, which includes this idea that if I can build out of the shtar because the Malveh has the shtar, so I can, anything that I can get and glean out of the shtar, anything that I can pull out, any umdina, any, all that is included in the Eidus of the shtar. That's the Yisod that we're saying. The shtar is not about a story. The shtar is about the chiyuv. And anything that relates to that chiyuv, that having the shtar will bring to the light, is included in the Eidus of the shtar. That's the halach of shtar. And therefore, it's the shtar speaking to the fact that he owes and he didn't pay. And therefore, if that's the case, I ask the Peru, Migud the Mizuyev, how does that work? So I give you an answer. Because to the extent that it's not Mekuyim, so he says it's not a shtar at all. I grant you that. What about this Migo? Hechzartiv Migo Denensu. What does the Mafkid have? A star. Shtar Chabiyad my boy. And what are we saying? Shtar Chabiyad my boy is not something extrinsic. It's not a separate issue. It's defining what the Eidus of the star is, that there's a Chiyuv. So then, the Eidus is here. The Eidus is clear. So we have to, it's Migo Mokam Eidus. What kind of style does Gemara have? Now the Rashbam uses such goshonos, Migo Mokam Eidem, but then he says maybe it's not Migo Mokam Eidem. I'm asking you just from the lumdus that I just told you right now. If the lumdus is correct, that a star speaks to the chiyuv, and anything that I can pull out of the context of the way that the star is formulated and the context in which it's being brought in the Din Torah, whatever I can get out of that is included in the Eidus of the Shtar, and therefore you have Eidim that speak to the Chiyuv and to the fact that it wasn't paid. So then, if Migo Mokam Eidem, what's kind of Shtar of the Gemara? So Peter Prue Migo Mizuyev, he's challenging that very assumption. It's not a Shtar at all. Okay, but if you have a Shtar Mekuyim, a Shtar Pikadum, the Yad HaMafkid, and what does that mean? Shtar HaBiyadei my boy. But what does that mean? That means that it's attesting to the Chiyuv. So there's Eidim that say that the Shomer owes. So what does the Shomer have on his side of Migo? Migo Mokam Eidem. So what's the Shaila of the Gemara? Okay? Hold the thought. What do you think?
So Eidus is not strong in some sort of way.
So you're going to have to prove this point, but maybe the answer is going to have to be that there's a difference between a Shtar Halva and a Shtar Pikud. You're going to have to find rais to this. What did I just say? That a star halva is not a star on a story. A star halva is a star on the chiyuv, the das ha-mischayim, lo ve'oz. How we got to that chiyuv, so you can look at the words of the star. But the star's edus is lo ve'oz malve x amount of money. And then we can take it a step further and say anything that supports any detail of this chiyuv that we can extrapolate from the star becomes part of the statement of the star that Lova owes Malva money. But that's a star halva. But maybe star pikadon is different. Maybe star pikadon, it's not pshat that there's a chiyuv that the shomer has to return this pikadon. Basically, it's testifying that there was a safekeeping of this item, the yad ha-shomer. It's literally a sipur dvarim. Now, the issue at stake is whether he returned it or not is totally unrelated to what the star is about. The star is about the fact that there was a maisa of Reuven was mafkid certain chayvet b'yad Shimon. That's the star b'kadam. Nothing more, nothing less. Now the issue becomes something else. The malvis still has the mafkid still has the star. The question is, was it returned? The indication would be shtar chavyadi my boy that it wasn't returned. He says, I did return it. He has a migo. He could have said nansu. That's where the shaila becomes its own shaila. Migo b'makom shtar chavyadi my boy, but not migo b'makom eidim. Migo b'makom eidim would only be an issue if we're discussing it from the perspective of a shtar halva, because the shtar halva is defined as eidus on the chiyuv. And the star b'kadon might be viewed as something different. So these are two nekudos just to bring out after we subshat in the Rivam's kasha. First, haru amigo de mezuyah. We said because there the amigo is basically saying the whole thing is not true. It's not a star, and that's why he has to be mekayim the star. And then the question from star b'kadon, that could be that it's a different type of a star. But by a star halva, the edus is an edus on the chiyuv. And therefore, coming back to the Rivam's kasha where we are right now in the Gemara. So the Rivam is saying, look, if collecting with a star still requires you to take a swoosh that you weren't paid, and chazakah doesn't require that, and a star speaks to the fact that it's a chiyuv, that has not been paid, and yet we're still requiring a swoosh of onifra, and chazakah doesn't require that. So then what's the shalom? You can welcome chazakah. Welcome edim, miko doesn't work, and a star is edus. That it wasn't paid. And yet you have to swear when you collect with a star. And chazaka does require you to swear. So then, ego makom chazaka, it should be obviously not good. That's the Rivam's question.
So within that answer, how are we magdir what shtar chavyadi my body? Like, what is it then? If it's not.
It's an umdina, the way I started with, when I asked originally, what I originally asked, I didn't see it as connecting to the star. I said it's a separate. Raya Samach, it's an umdin of sorts that must be that if the Malvis still has the shtar, it must be lower than pay.
Why is it a shayla? Wouldn't Migu Pashut be? I mean, why would that
well,
be?
Well, no, it's sort of like a. That's the question, you know, because if here you have an indication, you have a counterindication. The issue is, what do we go with?
But is Migu just an indication? Isn't Migu a lot stronger than
it's a support to a Taina, but the Taina is countered by this other indication. Let's see the Teretz, so the Ri. Okay, where does the Ri disagree with what we just came out with? Says the Ri, again the words of the, I guess from the beginning. Hiksha Rivam, Vaha Chazaka di from the star. The bestar in a go be'ela b'shvua. Uba Chazaka go be'below shvua. V'im kein, maikam e'boile, hapshita demigo mokam eidem warm in, and koshkin mokam chazaka de adif for tfei. It's better, it's stronger than eidem. You see that you don't need a shvua. And the eidus of the star, which says he didn't pay, still needs a shvua. The Omeri, the low koshikla. Not a problem. What? The Vadai Eidim Adifi Mechazaka. Eidim for sure is strong. Mikam Eidim Lom Mina Chazaka is a Shaila. Eidim Adif Mechazaka. What's my Raya? The Iami Sheparo, a few Betochazman, Chazaka meaning Betochazman. If Eidim would say it was paid Tochazman, Potter. The Chazaka says that it wasn't paid. Obviously, you believe the Eidim. So obviously, head on. Eidim versus Chazaka, where do you go? Why? But Eidim. The Iyam Yafil Achaz Man Yidan de Lo Paro, and if they'll say after this man that we know wasn't paid, Hayagovim and Ayisom de Lo Shvua. In other words, because Edom are Edom. Oh, so therefore, clearly Edom are higher. Where did you build your whole edifice from the Rivam? Where did you think otherwise? Where did you come to think that Chazaka is stronger than Edom? Because in fact, that by a Shvua, you need a Shvua when you collect with a star, you only need a Shvua when you collect with Chazaka. Says the Ri, that's different. Why, when you have a star, do you need a shvua? Zeh lefi she'eno mochiach mitoch ha'star impara v'imrav. It's not absolutely for sure indicative from the star that he paid, because it could very well be that he didn't pay. The zimnin desire le'apshita desafra k'damin per kam deva metziah. He quotes a Gemara there that says that sometimes the lover doesn't take the star back, the malva holds the star by him, even after the lover paid, because there's still an account that has to be made with the expenses involved with the sofer, the pennies that they had to pay the sofer. Who has to pay in a case of mavelo? Who has to pay the sofer to write the shtar, the cost of the sofer? The lover. Sometimes the lover wants to take a loan out, but he doesn't have money. So therefore, the malveh pays the sofer in the meantime, and ultimately the lover has to reimburse the malveh. Now, the chov is now extended based on the sofer writing the shtar, but meanwhile, the malveh laid out the money. Now that the lover paid the chov, but the malveh will hold the shtar by him as like a leverage that even though the chov was paid, but until the lover will pay, reimburse the malveh, but the safi, he'll keep the shtar by the malveh. So since that is sometimes the case, that even though the shtar is by the malveh, but it doesn't show that the malveh wasn't paid, it's just because of the technicality that the pshid the safi wasn't accounted for. Therefore, says the Ri, it's not mochiach mitocha shtar in paravim lav. In other words, fundamentally, Edim are more important than Chazaka. B'haraya, Edim could testify Tochas Mano was paid, and that would be, of course, indication that it was paid, even though the Chazaka says otherwise. But the fact that there is this difference in terms of Shavua, that by Ishtar you need a Shavua, Chazaka you don't, is because it's not Mochiach mitoch Ishtar. What does the Ri mean? Does the Ri totally mean to negate the whole Lumdus that we said? That Shtar speaks not just to the story, Shtar speaks to the fact that the Chiyuv? I don't think he's dismissing that yourself. What does the Ri mean to disagree with? That we said that anything that is mamish muchach mitoch ha-shtar goes into the edus of the shtar. What did the Rivam think that includes? That's muchach mitoch ha-shtar. The fact that it wasn't paid because shtar chabiyari my boy. That's where the Ri disagrees. The Ri says it's not muchach mitoch ha-shtar. Therefore, that doesn't become part of the edus of the shtar. In other words, it's not that he's wholesale, rejecting the lumdus that we said that shtar is defined as attesting to the chiyuv. The bottom line, what is the shtar saying that he's chayiv, that there's a chov? No, but the fact is, but how do you know the chov didn't get paid? So the Rivam assumed that since shtar chav yadamai boi is something that you can get out of the fact that the shtar is biyad malveh. So therefore, that anything that you can glean from the shtar becomes part of edus of the shtar. And therefore, the shtar is itself saying that it was not paid. The research is not correct. The fact that you know that it was not paid is not 100% muchach from the shtar being the malveh. Sometimes the malveh has the shtar because the lover still has to pay him for the pshita of the saf. And therefore, it's not entirely muchach mitoch shtar that it wasn't paid. It's not muchach mitoch shtar. It doesn't become part of the edus of the shtar. But the fact that generally the shtar can speak to the chiyuv, as opposed to Sipur Dvarim, I don't think the Ri has to disagree with. In terms of what else goes into the edus of the shtar, whether the question of whether it's paid or not, because the malveh has the shtar, that is considered to be muchach mitoch shtar, and therefore it's muchach mitoch shtar because part of the edus, the Rivam thought that that becomes part of the edus of the shtar that's not paid, and therefore his kasha was what it was. The Ri disagrees. The Ri says, you see, it's not true, because it could be it was left for some other reason by the malveh. And therefore, it's not part of the edus of the shtar. La'olam, of course, edim are more strong than chazaka. Therefore, the shtar of the gemara remains a shtar. Just another line or two. We'll have to go over it again, but just to read another line, just to this half of the tosis. Ach kasha, fektosis, another kasha. Mikom malkom tifshot, delo amin migo malkom chazaka. Let's do prove that we don't see Mokum Chazaka midirami bachama. The Omer Perkon Ishboyin Shvustaf Memhei Hamavke Eitzel Chaveo Bishtar Tzorach Lehachzilo they say Be'edin. If there was a giving of a pikadon with the star, then the lover, I mean the shomer has to pay back Be'edin. V'lo meheiman lo mehechzarti lach b'migo d'bi Omer Nensu. This is the Shalad Imadat Ayin. So Rami Bachama holds that there's no nemanis amigo. Tibi amnem sa mishum dematzi amal eshtar chabiyadi my boy. Oh, so here comes the Rivam, the following kash. He says, what does Rami Bachama hold? That you're not a believe with amigo in the face of what? What's working against amigo? Shtar chabiyadi my boy. This is the shtar dafai. But Rami Bachama holds via one way on that question. Now comes the kasha. The koshkein, the lom amigo b'makom chazaka, the chazaka adifa, the ain't tzarach shvua. The time of the shtar chabiyadi my boy, lomani we put him in shvua. here comes Tosfos and asks, okay, so leave out the retook here of the kasha as originally formulated, but now it's talk from a different angle. Because if you hold that Migo does not work against what? Shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai. And when we want to weigh Chazaka versus Shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai, what's stronger? What's stronger? Chazaka in other pitos model, Shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai, what's stronger? No? Not all at once? Chazaka. Why? Because Shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai still requires the Malva to do what? Sure. Chazaka doesn't. So now, ready, we have a problem. Because what's the Shal of the Gemara here? Makam Chazaka. If we know Rami Bachama holds that Migo does not work against what? What is the, what's working against the Migo? Shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai. He says, Parai, he says, Achzarti, Migo denetz. But the Maskit has the Shtar. And Rami Bachama goes on the side of the Gemara Daf Ayin, and that Shal is saying, you cannot be believed against Shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai. So then if that's the case, certainly Migo can work against Chazak and Betel's Manav. It's a stronger Shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai, because Shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai does still require a Shvuah and Kari the Malveh, and Chazaka doesn't require the Malveh to wish. So Tosus throws up his hands as Yinachanami, Bishama, so Gidahacha Losava Kram Bacham, period. Here there's a Ha'ara, we'll end with this. If you look at Daf Ayin, L'charen, the Sheet already says this, Pashtus, there's a difference between Shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai of Halva, Shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai of Pikadim. And therefore, one could argue that's not a raya at all, because which is a stronger shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai? Could be, we already mentioned the svar from Rabbi Tzia, it could be, where is it more likely that the shtar would be surrendered? By a pikadon that was returned? By a halva that was paid? What? So by halva, we said there's a svara that he might leave it even after he paid, because he's still in accounting for the sofa. But by a pikadon, what do you mean? You paid it, you give it the pikadon, you take the star back. So which is a stronger shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai? Pikadon. So, and Tosfos himself says this on Daf Ayin. And the Shita says, the Shita Mekubetzes also says, that's the case, what's the kasha? Rabbi Bachama is saying, Migo doesn't work against which shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai? Which one? The case of Rabbi Bachama is Echzartiv, Migo of Netzah, because that's a stronger Shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai. What's our Gemara? But what do we have over here? Shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai of Halva. So, okay, so maybe here, Chazaka, maybe in this regard, maybe Migo could work against the Chazaka. We don't know the level. It's not the same level of Shtarcha b'yadim that we're talking about over there. Maybe Migo would work against the Chazaka of Shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai, against the Shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai of Halva, and therefore maybe Chazaka also. You're mixing two different shtarcha b'yadim ha'ibai. Once Tosfos already acknowledges that it's not the same level umdina, that this kasha falls away. It's taka good ha'ara. What do we do then? All right, more to come.